Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Baltimore Ravens. Why the heck not? Okay, I believe that they are going to be...
within the division?
If they transition tag them, the Steelers do, and they try and match it, that's a different story. But unfettered free agency is unfettered free agency. So I believe that the Baltimore Ravens are going to do everything they can to really make this a serviceable offense around Lamar Jackson. And what better way to do it than a guy that's used to running up against eight in the box and doing it well. And by the way, can also catch the ball out of the backfield. I think it's a great fit in Baltimore. I think they really need to make the strong moves this offseason on offense.
That is Mike Garofolo. There's a boy, Jermichael, on NFL Network. This is not the first time we've heard this. An NFL Network reporter saying that the Ravens are hot on the trail. They want Le'Veon Bell. 93.7, the fan time is 4:31. It's brought to you by the all-new Ken Ganley Toyota with real zero down. Now, we just had Ed Bouchette on, and he poo-pooed the idea of the Ravens turning into a juggernaut with Le'Veon Bell. He just isn't convinced Bell will be very good after missing an entire year, which is fair. I mean, it's a position that isn't really kind to guys in their late 20s and early 30s as it is, and now he's going to come back from missing an entire season. What is he going to look like? But I don't know. I don't really want to see the team that's more committed to the run, the team that's whole offense is going to be designed and built on running the ball, pay through the nose to get maybe the best running back available. Because for as much as I reject the idea that Lamar Jackson is a great quarterback, we know he can run it. And if you give him Le'Veon Bell instead of Gus Edwards at running back, something tells me their offense is going to be harder to stop.
When you go from the world's second most famous groundhog to Le'Veon Bell, yes, I would say you're doing well. The thing about Le'Veon...
What is that?
Gus, the world's second... It's those Pennsylvania Lottery commercials. All I can think of when I think of Gus Edwards is a groundhog. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. Some of the jokes don't hit.
I'm sorry, was I supposed to laugh?
No, some of the jokes don't hit. They're just one-offs in my own brain that I have to have verbal diarrhea get out there. The thing that gets me, if I'm a Steelers fan evaluating this, and I don't think Jackson's a great thrower of the ball at short intermediate. I said that yesterday, I think. But if he gets a little better in that respect, man, Le'Veon Bell, what does he do? He turns a lot of those little dump plays into big gains. He makes them much more efficient by, I think, just being a guy. Forget about how good of a runner he is and how good he could be in a gimmicky offense if people can't solve it with the blocking schemes and being patient and what have you. I think him getting just short passes from Lamar Jackson automatically makes Jackson a better thrower of the football, because he'll have your little 7-yard dump pass that Bell turns into 26.
Gus Edwards was an undrafted free agent, and when the Ravens gave him 15 carries a game, they went 5-1 last year. Their lone loss was an overtime defeat in Kansas City,
where Mahomes had to make an unbelievable fourth down play with the game on the line.
When the Steelers give Le'Veon Bell 15 carries or more, they're 21-8 in the last 3 years. So you win 75% of your games when you give it to Bell 15 times. My guess is if the Ravens paid a lot of money for Bell, they would give him at least 15 carries. So all I'm saying is you've got a situation here inside your own division where if you put the transition tag on Bell, don't be surprised if your arch rival is the team that makes Bell the biggest offer. And if that happens, then what? You just say, all right, good luck in Baltimore? Because if the Steelers are hell-bent on making sure Antonio Brown doesn't get to a rival, Albert Breer said there are 27 teams that the Steelers will trade Antonio Brown to. The teams he left out, the AFC North opponents in New England. It stands to reason the Steelers would want to make sure Bell doesn't sign inside their own division, no?
Do you? I would imagine, yes, but I would imagine they think Bell is less of a threat if he does end up in their division to actually hurt them, because they'll say, oh, he took a year off, blah, blah, blah. He's not going to be as good. He'll be a diminished version of himself.
But couldn't they also say, well, Brown can go anywhere because he'll just destroy the team and eat them alive, so who cares who he plays for? Ravens, Patriots,
Bengals. Maybe they have a feeling that he might go places and be on much better behavior. If you think that the beef was with him and the quarterback here specifically, that it's a Roethlisberger and Brown thing, then you don't necessarily abide by the theory or subscribe to the theory that he goes anywhere and ruins them from the inside out.
I think the front office and the coach respect Bell more than they respect Brown.
I partially disagree.
Rooney did not close the door on Bell coming back.
I think the head coach respects Bell a lot more than he respects Brown. I think the owner does not respect either man, but I think he has a real beef with Le'Veon Bell. Like, it bothers him that Le'Veon Bell...
If he does, he kept it to himself.
I think it bothers him that Le'Veon Bell called the bluff, or whatever, wasn't bluffing when they probably thought he was. Like, maybe they respect him for it, but it bugs the hell out of them that he actually did it. By the way, I would not close the door either on Le'Veon Bell playing here. Like, in principle, if somebody said to me, Chris, you get Le'Veon Bell, and the best offer he gets in the open market was a fairly reasonable one, sign me up. I don't think he poisons you from the inside out. I think everybody in that locker room, even the guys that talk smack on him that would be back next year, the guys that did the famed locker raid, I think all those guys would happily take him back into the fold because they would know he'd make them better.
The big quarterback trade yesterday, Joe Flacco going to Denver. Which quarterback would you rather have, Joe Flacco or Lamar Jackson? Did the Ravens screw that up? 412-928-9370. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Sidney Crosby talk at 5 o'clock. It's the PM team. Earlier today, the morning guys hung out at Toten's Diner, and they were taking Antonio Brown jersey donations for St. Vincent de Paul. They'll get those jerseys to a good place instead of lighting them on fire. And tomorrow you can stop by our studios from 6 to 10 here in Greentree at Foster Plaza 5. Donate your jersey. You'll get a $10 gift certificate to Yinzers in the Berg, and then you'll also be entered into a drawing for a signed Juju Smith-Schuster jersey thanks to Total Sports Enterprises. Ed Bouchette, our Steelers insider, was on earlier this hour, and I asked him, who will have a better 2019, Joe Flacco in Denver or Lamar Jackson playing the Steelers twice a year in Baltimore? And Ed said Flacco because he thinks the Jackson flavor of the month will go away like a McRib, that it was successful for a limited time. And he thinks Flacco is a good quarterback. And I would call that I watch Flacco play against the Steelers, and pretty much all or most of the games I watch Joe Flacco play is against the Steelers bias. Because outside of Flacco's record against Pittsburgh 10-11, which is pretty good, what else has Joe Flacco done since winning a Super Bowl that would lead anybody to think he's still a good quarterback?
Joe Flacco's never topped 27 touchdowns in a season. He has only one time, and it was this year, thrown fewer than 10 interceptions, and that's only because he started 9 games. He would have gotten to the magic number, for sure, had he played all 16 games. I don't think Lamar Jackson's going to have a great year, but the Ravens are probably better positioned with their defense to have a better season than they would if Flacco was their quarterback, because they're going to kill the clock with Jack. Even they're going to, come hell or high water, try to possess the hell out of the ball. Would you agree?
Yep.
They're going to try to limit possessions in the game. They're going to try to win with their defense and hope that Jackson develops enough as a passer to become dangerous. So he is much better suited, even though I have serious doubts about Lamar Jackson long term unless he improves as a passer. He's much better suited to win there. Joe Flacco does one thing better than most: throw the ball extremely far and have that yellow flag come out. His most famous play, a play that an executive like John Elway, who I think is every bit as bad as a team manager or a team builder as he was good as a quarterback, he's probably thinking of Flacco throwing a bomb with 30 seconds left to Jacoby Jones to stun the Broncos when he makes this deal in principle. Oh, yeah, he chucked the hell out of the ball on 3rd-and-3, and he beat us. That does not make a quarterback good. The guy's passer rating has been above 90 precisely twice in his entire NFL career.
Joe Flacco is Blake Bortles with a Super Bowl ring. He's got big wins on his resume. There isn't much else to suggest he's a good quarterback. You bring up passer rating. The last 5 years, this is where he's ranked among quarterbacks in passer rating. 28th, 25th, 24th, 30th, and 16th. The best he did in the last 5 years was average, 16th. Most of the time he's in the high 20s, which means he is in the conversation for the worst starting quarterback in the league.
Oh, and he has a bad back, too.
Yeah, he's done. He's 34 years old. There are quarterbacks who were much better, who were shot, who were done in their mid-30s. I don't think the guy makes it through the full season in Denver. I think his career is pretty much over. And Baltimore, with Harbaugh and with Greg Roman now, the offensive coordinator who was Colin Kaepernick's OC in San Francisco, I think they'll build an offense that's tailored for Jackson's game. I don't think it'll necessarily work. But if they get the right offensive lineman there, and if they get some stars at running backs, I think they'll at least give themselves a chance, which is more than I can say about Denver and Flacco. I think Flacco's shot, and I think that they'll probably finish, unless that defense under Fangio is great, I think that team's
Super Bowl,
in trouble.
Super Bowl odds got worse when the trade was announced. Yeah. And you know what? I wouldn't make moves if I were an NFL executive based on social media reaction, but if I'm anyone close to Elway, I'm getting in his ear going, John, they're killing us for this right now. Maybe back out of it in principle. You still have 27 days. Lamar Jackson, I don't think, will be good, because I've seen him be wildly inaccurate in situations where I would think even a guy whose passing skills were supposed to be lagging behind should still be better. But he's young. There is even you and I, cynics about him, can admit that his whole career is in front of him. Mm-hmm. There is a chance he tweaks his mechanics here and there and starts to make some throws, and then he becomes a very dangerous football player potentially. Joe Flacco's best days are long behind him. If John Elway is making this deal with the idea in mind that Joe Flacco still has several more good years left, he is out of his mind. He hasn't had several good years to this point in his career. He's had one. And it's the one that ends in a Super Bowl, but go look at his passer rating that year. It wasn't that good. He is, you know what he is? He is the classic example of a guy who bet on himself because his team had found no reason to actually commit to him, and then he hit the freaking lottery. Full marks to him for doing it, but he hit the jackpot. He had his best playoff run at the absolute best possible time.
What is the best romantic movie of all time?
Serendipity.
What happens?
Well, I just like it because I like Kate Beckinsale. It's about two people serendipitous.
What is it about Kate Beckinsale that you like? Her look?
Look, accent, British. British accent.
So it's two people who are brought together.
Well, they're brought together, then they're separated by the logistical challenges of their lives, and then they have the old, you know, if fate means for us to meet again, we will. And they do. They try to jake it a little bit, but that's the fun part. And Kate Beckinsale is very attractive and has a very smoldering accent.
If you are trying to move your relationship forward tonight, yeah, is that a movie to watch?
Definitely. Oh, you watch, listen, you throw on Serendipity, you say, I've seen this before, but I think you'd like it,
so
if you're the guy.
So that is your number one romantic movie.
What's yours,
movie
When Harry Met
time?
Sally?
Is that a romantic movie?
I think it's supposed to be. What are you going to tell me? You've Got Mail? Indecent Proposal?
Why are you just referencing Meg Ryan movies now? Like, you just have those on the brain?
I think Meg Ryan became synonymous with rom-coms, yeah. When I think of romantic...
I think you start with two.
What about Pretty Woman?
It's about a
billionaire.
Promiscuous...
It's about a billionaire and a hooker who fall in love.
Not, I don't know. Not very believable.
You start with two. Okay, what do you got?
Titanic.
Oh, terrible movie. Atrocious.
It's an all-time love story.
No.
The rich lady falls for the help. One of them dies.
I don't think you're spoiling much for people 22 years out to say that it's not the rich lady who dies.
How about Casablanca?
Play It Again, Sam isn't even a line from that movie. I think it's like it's been like manipulated through time. You know, it's one of the darkest comedies of all time, but
Gone
it actually might no, but it actually might be the best romantic movie of all time too. Groundhog Day. The man lives through by the late director Harold Ramis's count like 10,000 years to try to woo a woman that in the beginning is repulsed by him because he's such a, like, a jerk, basically. And he comes to realize what it means to live a full, healthy, productive life and falls in love with her.
I think that movie would fall under the comedy.
But it's a it's a romantic movie, too. Groundhog Day is an incredibly varied movie.
Every movie of all time has a romantic, a love story to it. I'm talking about movies that you would say are defined by the romantic.
Somebody's going to jump into the mentions. Theme. Somebody who's like 10 years, or no. Who's about 10 years
Notebook.
Younger than us. Yeah, and say, The Notebook. That movie sucks.
Never seen it.
Don't.
Never got subjected to it.
Terrible.
Never got put through it.
Went and saw it in the theater ages ago. Guessed the twist in the movie 10 seconds in. Spent the rest of the movie dogging the movie for how dumb it was.
Little makeout session during that movie.
No. I think both parties were just sitting there talking about how bad the movie was.
So did not set the mood
whatsoever. No, because it was such a blatantly pandering schlock heap. Man, the best romantic... I don't know. Serendipity is very, like, light and breezy.
I told the girl in college on, like, Valentine's Day weekend, I said to her, do you want to come over and watch Boogie Nights?
That is not going to be a romance. That's a certain kind of romance that you're going for.
Yes. And she said,
honey, do you want to be the roller girl to my Diggler, my Dirk Diggler?
And her response to me was, I feel like after we watch that, I'm going to be less interested in you, which was, in one sense, I really respected that comment.
Yeah. That's honesty right there.
Yeah.
Did that immediately make her more attractive? It had to have hard to get in
I
a
mean,
way.
It was that was a half court shot by me. I went in.
It didn't work. Did she come over and watch Boogie Nights?
No, that was one of those, like, you send the Facebook message, private message to the person, you wait, then you see that the message has been sent back to you, and you have to hype yourself up to open it. You ever have one of those situations?
I know what you're talking about.
With a little bit of...
You put a message in a bottle. You send a carrier pigeon.
Like, oh no, she got back to me!
Yeah.
What do I do here?
You send the carrier pigeon out, and it comes back with a freshly wrapped message, you are hoping.
Did the Burt Reynolds, Mark Wahlberg,
you know what it is in the
Hail Mary throw work?
You know what it is in the iPhone era? The ... coming back to you, and you are just sitting there. You are wondering, what is behind the ellipses?
Buckle up.
What would Ian Eagle say in this situation?
Jermichael?
No, he's got nothing for us. People are going for Love of the Game. Loving Basketball. People are going Love Actually. True Romance is actually
a great
romantic movie.
There's a scene in Love and Basketball where doesn't Omar Epps' character say, like, if I make this shot, you have to take your shirt off?
There's something like that, yeah.
Okay.
Wedding Crashers and Fever Pitch. No. No fever. Get the Fever Pitch out.
Van Weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Get a sweetheart of a deal with Auto Show Savings in February. 49 degrees right now, low 41.
50 first dates. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, it's okay.
It's a sweet. Surprisingly good.
Did Sidney Crosby prove that he's the greatest hockey player on planet Earth last night? One of our colleagues thinks so. We'll debate it next. It's the PM team.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.